land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Third and final hour on this Monday, October 27th, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. So excited about the World Series tonight. Toronto Blue Jays flying to Los Angeles to play three games tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday. In L.A., tied one game apiece. Toronto took the first game in somewhat of a blowout. L.A. Dodgers won the second game, 5-1. Great pitching, unbelievable, complete game by the Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher. Head back, had Sunday, NFL football Sunday, to travel back to L.A., Game three is tonight, 8 o'clock on Fox. Watch it. Great baseball. Couple of text messages, though. Trucker Randy, most of these cases of rare diseases are coming from children who recently traveled outside the country or are here legally, illegally. My point is that most of the reports will tell you this unless you listen to CNN or MSNBC. So kids who travel outside the United States, or maybe they're here illegally, that's where the cases are coming from. This is a lengthy one. I don't know if I can get to it. Yeah, okay, I can get this. We have had measles, whooping cough, and even mumps. Outbreaks in fully vaccinated populations every single year. Often occurring after vaccine campaigns or boosters. They just weren't reported constantly in the media. None of these are deadly anymore. And several illnesses that used to be common are now rare without vaccine. So maybe the vaccination process killed it off. Became dinosaurs is what you're basically saying. Downstate Kim, long time no see. Our generation, Randy, had about 12 vaccinations. Yes, I thought that was the number, because I discussed it with my mom as I got older. I said, Mom, how many vaccinations did you get me when I was a baby? And I remember she said 12 because I'm born on January 12th. That's my birthday. So I remembered that number. She goes, the last time she checked, these younger kids nowadays, 72. Six times the number of vaccinations that we got when we were growing up. A doctor in Oregon did a study of his own patients, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. The results were the unvaccinated were much healthier. Well, he tried to take his medical license. Not sure what happened, but that was back in 2020. You betcha. Well, as a senior, I'm not, the only vaccination I got was shingles. My mom had severe cases of it. I thought it might be in my DNA. I took the shingles vaccination years ago. The new one they just came out with that is now pretty prevalent, that's the shingles vaccination I got. It's been 4 or 5 years ago. We're going to move on. Got a story, very interesting story. Next segment, we'll be right back.
Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey wants to ask you a question. Have you exercised your Second Amendment rights lately? Well, if you haven't, get on over to Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey and talk to the old gun doctor about purchasing your next firearm, whether that be a concealed carry firearm or maybe an AR-15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The gun doctor also works on every kind of firearm except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmith. Call 231-838-5571.
This is Justin Michael. I grew up in Grayling, Michigan, where small-town values and hard work shaped who I am. I proudly served in the U.S. Army in combat, and today I continue serving as a conflict resolution specialist and an advocate for veterans, families, and working people across northern Michigan and in the Upper Peninsula. I know the struggles our communities face because I live them. I'm Justin Michael. Let's start bridging the divides in our district together. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
On Sunday, November 2nd, the 9th District Republican Youth invite our fellow American brothers and sisters to join us for an evening of remembrance for Charlie Kirk. Tickets are free and it's only $5 for parking. Gates open at noon. At 4 p.m., we will have a church service on the mountain. And then at 6:30 p.m., the memorial begins. For more information, go to LibertyMountainUSA.com. Let's gather at Liberty Mountain USA, November 2nd, to remember our American brother, Charlie Kirk.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number three. Well, in looking at younger people and these vaccination rates, there's also some other activity younger people are doing. From Pong to PlayStation 5, video games have been a part of American pop culture for more than five decades. 50 years. Well, okay, I'm 67, 50 years. what was it called? Atari? Pac-Man? Oh, yeah. We had our video games. However, today's iteration of that culture has spilled into a type of social media disclosure that is taking on a toxic and derogatory look. For those who aren't careful, it's a bad look at a bare minimum. Political recently reported about a racist, sexist, anti-Semitic Telegram chat among several leaders of young Republicans. Oh, of course, young Democrats aren't doing the same thing, but it's this story is biased, so I'll go with it. Who misogynistic speech may be commonplace in the world of interactive first-person shooter video games, but it's shockingly inappropriate outside that world. According to Michigan State University Communications Associate Professor Amanda Cote, misogynistic speech, racism, sexism, anti-Semitic, not good. You're probably not going to find somebody who's played games online who never heard another player tell someone, get back in the kitchen and make them a sandwich. Cote, who wrote Gaming Sexism, Gender and Identity in the Era of Casual Video Games back in 2020, said it's all part of the, quote, trash talk, end quote, or the negative talk, in order to distract or frustrate an opponent in a very competitive person versus person game over online voice chat or messaging systems. It's still playing on old traditional domestic roles and stereotypes, using kind of sexist beliefs about misogyny, and that one of the nicer examples is that kind of thing you might hear, she said. I can't even believe they have this chapter or program at my university. Cote is the Michigan State University Serious Games Certificate Director. Said so much of this trash talk being heard is again racist, sexist, homophobic, and people who exist in these spaces can end up normalizing this into their regular everyday language, even though how bad and negative it is, said Cote. She also went on to say that the stereotypical ideas of what constitutes a gamer started forming before the video game crash of 1983. After the video game company Atari was sold and was treated as a toy for young boys to play on the family's second television. See, it was Atari. Man, I hadn't said that word in years. I didn't even remember it. Well, you got a lot of popular cultural stereotypes that gaming is wasting time. And so it's this group of people now making it a priority. But it also doesn't necessarily feel like it's a hobby. Now it's becoming part of the roots of this gamer culture that we're seeing today, where lots and lots of people are now playing these type of games. The Entertainment Software Association reported the video game industry pulled in, listen to this, $59 billion in revenue last year, 2024. That number eclipsed movies and music's $20 billion combined revenues same year, last year, 2024. Now, an interesting, disturbing trend is these very violent shooting-type games. A reference to one of the top grossing games last year was called Helldivers 2, which was recently carved into a bullet by the person charged in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk. All but two of the top 10 top grossing games last year, 2024, were competitive and included first person shooters. The average age for a video gamer player is now 41. According to ESA's 2025 Global Power Play Report, that number is getting older as that younger people who've been playing these games for a year continue to do so. Well, Stephanie Bundy, an associate professor of teaching at Wayne State University's Honors Program, is one of these players. She was a ranked Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Left 4 Dead players. She was actually ranked. I guess they keep track of the players and rank them based on their skills, stating that she's totally immersed in the video game culture. She also wrote her dissertation. Her dissertation for PhD on video games. Bundy said there are some video game servers that are actually recruiting areas for white supremacist groups and children's games that are areas that are being stalked by child predators. It isn't the video game's fault. I don't want to say, oh yeah, there is this apparent activity and it's everywhere. I don't want to fearmonger it. But it is what you put into the game. It's just like the internet and what comes out of it. She said video games have diversity and wonderful communities can spawn from them. However, it is a double-sided coin. There's great, and then there's bad, just like in life. I wouldn't say video games themselves breed white supremacy or any particular kind of politicalization or polarization. Like life, certain personalities are drawn to certain games. I can definitely say that cozy games aren't ones to breed a lot of white supremacy. Cozy games, whatever those are, okay. She goes on to say, games dealing with domination or conflicts of power can draw susceptible personalities into being a toxic community. It happens when people are looking for a community to call their own. Bundy said those communities end up using social media platforms like Telegram or Discord. They can also watch streamers play their favorite games on Twitch. What the heck is Twitch? I have no idea. Well, lastly, Joshua Boss, a video game streamer who goes by the handle JDB Streams, has been in the streaming space for about 7 years. Boss said gaming and game lobbies can be a teenager's first real exposure to the wider wild world. The first time you put on Call of Duty or Battlefield and you get in the voice chat with everybody, you realize that you're in a room with all types. There's no limit to the type of people that you can be exposed to. Why? Because everybody loves to play these games. Listen to this. The International Trade Administration reported more than 190 Americans play video games. And 78% of all U.S. households have played at least one gaming device in the last year. 78% of all of our U.S. households have played at least one gaming device in the last year. We haven't. Vicky and I have not spent 1 minute on a gaming device. Well, the U.S. population is 340.1 million people. So basically, you're saying that 22%, almost a quarter of that, have never played it last year? Three quarters have. Wow. Over 250, 260 million just off the top of my head. Worldwide, there are 3.2 billion gamers. Boz said that loading up a first-person shooter, he wouldn't place any bets on not hearing five different profanities and two different racial slurs thrown out within the first 10 minutes. The competitiveness comes into play and people's egos get hurt. And you go to defend your honor, so you start screaming and yelling back at the other person. Actually, I think it just becomes a normal part of the experience for so many people so quickly, because you just get immersed in it immediately. It's everywhere. That's what it is. Be loud, be obnoxious, and try to throw your opponent off track. That's the door in. And very soon, it becomes a rabbit hole that ends up running deep. He said he's even heard and experienced Russian propaganda and other nationalist agendas were flooded into some of the games, streaming channels, and even the social media platforms. He said he's left communities that have fostered normalization of extremist and violently graphic content. Chat channels dedicated to have dedicated straight to pornography. How to share photos of your ex boyfriends and girlfriends. Certain Discord servers that I've had to leave because I can't open notifications in public. You open it up and somebody's getting their head chopped off. It's wild. This stuff goes on behind closed doors within some of these communities. Absolutely amazing. Had no idea this was happening out there with these young people. Bottom of the hour news break, hour number three. We'll be right back.